Hey, it's John Sturman from Ukuleles Unleashed. You're listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill. 90.7 FM radio for open ears.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more, plus advance notice of close-up series conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Saugerties, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org. That's upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Justin Luke in Brooklyn and Caro, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast, April the 26th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. Leaders of a teachers union in Louisiana voicing concerns now about a package of bills they say would have the effect of dissolving labor unions in the state.
Among them are disability justice activists who see the project as a direct threat to their community. Dom Kelly with New Disabled South highlights the lack of representation for marginalized communities in the decision-making process regarding Cop City's construction. He says this is not only a democracy issue, but it will widen the gaps that already exist for disabled people encountering police.
We know that the state and federal prison population is two-thirds people with disabilities, and the argument that this will train police is not based in any fact or data, because we know that implicit bias trainings don't actually improve police interaction.
Shantia Hudson reporting.
And the Supreme Court's conservative majority appeared ready Thursday to rule that former presidents have some degree of immunity from criminal prosecution. The New York Times reports it's a move that could further delay the criminal case against the former President Donald Trump on charges he plotted to subvert the 2020 election. The Times notes that such a ruling would likely send the case back to a trial court, ordering it to draw distinctions between official and private conduct. The additional proceedings could make it hard to conduct the trial before the 2024 election. And environmental groups say more should be done to protect people's health from what they say is toxic radioactive sludge.
Ohio has some of the least restrictive rules on fracking waste, says Jill Hunkler with the local advocacy group Ohio Valley Allies. She says this makes communities dumping grounds for the byproducts of fracking, and residents are often left to educate themselves on the risks of living near fracking operations and waste sites.
We could see firsthand how dangerous these facilities were and how poorly they were operating, and right within 500 feet of drinking water supply for 5 million people, which is the Ohio River.
In a legal complaint, the AG's office says the Martins Ferry facility has exceeded the amount of waste it's permitted to store by thousands of tons. Austin Master Services could not be reached for comment. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
Yale University research has linked exposure to some of these substances to reproductive and developmental problems. Next from CNN, pro-Palestinian protests continue at major U.S. universities, with nearly 100 people arrested at the University of Southern California and dozens at the University of Texas at Austin. USC canceled its main commencement ceremony for 2024 students in May, citing new safety measures that are in place. This is Public News Service. CO2 pipelines are on the increase in the U.S., and like all pipelines, they come with some risks. Preparing for those risks is a major focus of the community benefits agreement between Nebraska-based Bold Alliance, and Tallgrass Energy Solutions.
Tallgrass plans to modify an existing gas pipeline that crosses Nebraska to transport CO2. Bold Alliance Director Jane Klebb says her organization stands with communities facing energy infrastructure projects to help ensure they have what they need and that the company is giving back. And she points to Satarsha, Mississippi's 2020 experience with a massive CO2 pipeline leak as evidence of the importance of first responder training.
We have real money in here, $400,000 initially and then additional $200,000 for training and $100,000 for a emergency response system that first responders will get to equip their mostly volunteer firefighters.
Not only did the Mississippi first responders lack the training for a CO2 disaster, Klebb says some were unaware the pipeline even existed. For Public News Service, I'm Deborah Van Fleet.
And the long-delayed farm bill could benefit Virginia farmers by renewing funding for climate-smart investments, but it's been held up for months in the Congress.
Some lawmakers want this bill to expand funding for programs like the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, or EQIP, which gives financial and technical help to farmers and ranchers to make conservation a priority. About $250 million was allocated for the program, but over 9,000 applications were submitted, bringing it to $475 million. Gabrielle Walton with the Chesapeake Climate Action Network says these programs' popularity proves their necessity.
This money allows them not only to practice more efficiently and to preserve the environment that they love so much and they're so attached to, but it also saves them money that they can devote to other concerns and provides them stability for their pocketbooks going forward.
One issue with the new farm bill is a proposed increase in so-called reference pricing, which critics say only benefits large farming operations and would come at the expense of more widely used social and climate smart programs. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Finally, from Shantia Hudson, United Nations experts are raising concerns about DuPont and Chemours, two chemical giants, saying they're violating human rights in North Carolina.
At a virtual news conference this week, a UN representative said these companies have been releasing harmful PFAS chemicals into the environment near the lower Cape Fear River. Emily Donovan with the group Clean Cape Fear says more than 300 different chemicals in their water led them to seek help from the UN. She says getting clean and safe drinking water has been an issue for decades, and local residents continue to suffer the consequences.
The amount of sicknesses and illnesses happening in our region is incredibly...
In their response, DuPont has denied responsibility for a Fayetteville Works plant, a suspected contamination source.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, April 26th. Local early morning temperatures range from 26 degrees in Steventown to 33 in Kingston. Regional average soil temperature is 47 degrees. The valley area is warming up quicker than the edges. Pollen levels for today will be medium. And today will be cool again, high of 60 degrees at 3 p.m. Skies will be sunny. Overnight temperatures dip to 38 degrees, and tomorrow will be mostly the same with a high of 63 degrees at 3 p.m. However, by 5 p.m., you'll notice the skies grow cloudy and some rain could fall afterward. Overnight, it should become a little more consistent as temperatures fall to 46 degrees. Sunday, rain chances linger all day long, and we get a high of 71 degrees. Monday will be dry, partly cloudy, with a high of 77. Sunset today will be at 7:34 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:53 a.m. Looking way up, we see a G1 magnetic storm watch is still up. X-class flare chances are at 15%. Plasma winds will be slow at 334 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently not good until dark and then fair below 30 megahertz overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 196. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
Next, we hear 2023 radio art from Chicago-based artist Holly Palumbo. Fans of the band Belle and Sebastian will certainly recognize a melody in Firedrake Jammer from her 2023 album Radio and My Voice.
I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Turn out for Wave Farms WGXE 90.7 FM's karaoke contest fundraiser at Half Moon in Hudson on Friday, May 10th. The evening will be hosted by karaoke Amanda of WGXE show Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda, with proceeds from ticket sales benefiting WGXE. The contest's theme is communication, so all songs related to dialing, radio, phone, internet, fax, and more are eligible. Choose your tune and sing it for our guest judges, Ariel and Gloria, of WGXC show Las Brujas Bilingües, and DJ Patty Boom of WGXC show Vinyl Freedom, to win prizes. Prizes include tickets to the Negative Land and Sue C., Matt Mose, and Rodney Allen Greenblatt show at the Greenville Drive-In and other goodies. Doors are open at 7 p.m. and karaoke contest begins at 8 p.m. If you can't turn out in person, tune in for a live broadcast of the event on the FM dial or online. For more information, visit the community calendar at wavefarm.org.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're talking about the ongoing campaign to stop the expansion of the Iroquois pipeline, and we're joined by Mary Finneran, who's co-chair of the Gas Action Team of Sierra Club, and Kim Frazek, who is the director of Sane Energy. You certainly covered the pipeline issue previously, but Mary, why don't you give us a quick introduction to the issue and then what you're doing on the issue.
Okay. So basically the Iroquois expansion enhancement, they say, we say expansion by compression project, is one that has been being pushed for about 4 years now. The Iroquois pipeline was originally planned in the late 80s and completed in the early 90s in 95. The EPA fined them for poor construction under the Clean Water Act, but in their description, they mentioned how poorly the whole pipeline was laid on rocks versus gravel or sand. So that's something to keep in mind when we say that from Athens south to the New York City, Long Island markets, the pipeline is going to be receiving a lot more gas through expansion of the compressor stations. The compressor stations will be pushing a lot more gas through this pipeline. And it's dangerous. It's not only dangerous, but the toxicities will increase. The climate impacts will increase exorbitantly, and it's against the CLCPA. That's it in a nutshell. We're looking for comments to stop this project.
And Kim, did you have something to add?
Yeah, you know, the need for the pipeline. So, you know, National Grid, who is the downstate utility that would be receiving this gas, they... along with Con Edison, who share a network downstate, they're basically pushing for more gas because they make money by building more infrastructure and then charging us for their return on equity. So that's how all of our utility bills in New York State go up, is that utilities, they don't make money by delivering us gas or electricity. They make money by building infrastructure and charging us for it. They are regulated by the Public Service Commission, but the Public Service Commission in 2019, you know, we made such a stink about the North Brooklyn pipeline in the National Grid rate case that they had an independent assessor look at, you know, if certain infrastructure was needed, and the independent assessor found that it indeed was not needed, and that National Grid is sort of flubbing its design day for need for gas. And so, you know, we also know that when we were fighting the Williams pipeline, the big pipeline that was slated to go through the New York Harbor, you know, we beat that pipeline, we put that to bed, but National Grid was creating such a stink at that point. Oh, we need the gas, we need the gas. And so much so that they were calling their, asking their customers to lobby for them, to push for the Williams pipeline, because that would justify them building more infrastructure and charging us more money on our bills. So we also, when they decided, we're gonna stop serving gas because we're out of gas, we found out that that was illegal for them to do. And at the time, our governor was Governor Cuomo, and that made Governor Cuomo pretty upset. So he threatened to revoke the National Grid license to do business in New York State, and saying, you need to come up with a plan. If you're going to run out of gas so quickly, you need to come up with a plan. And one of those plans, so they had four things that they came up with. One of them was the Iroquois pipeline. Another was big LNG barges. Another one was LNG trucking. And then there was a fourth one that was a no infrastructure option using energy efficiency and heat pumps. So, everybody that's fighting or asking for the Iroquois pipeline conveniently forgets about that no infrastructure option that we, really had pushed for. So there are alternatives out there that do not need a 40-year-old pipeline getting expanded to push double the amount of gas through it and endangering people along the entire route of the pipeline. We know that it's not needed. And I feel like all the state agencies under Governor Hochul right now, they are in favor of gas. They get money from gas lobbyists and the gas industry. So it's like they're telling everybody, oh yeah, the gas is needed, but there's no, like, indeed there are two studies that show that the gas is actually not needed.
So we have been talking about DEC. I understand this gas pipeline goes through four states. So why does DEC, have a role rather than, say, the National Federal Energy Regulatory Commission? And what's the timeline for the decision and submitting comments?
Okay, can I address that? The timeline, the comments are due on Monday, April 29th. And the DEC is involved because FERC, and it's only a two-state project, it's only going through New York State. It does, the Iroquois starts up in Waddington, across from Lake Ontario, but it only goes through New York State and Connecticut. Connecticut only gets the disadvantages, gets none of the quote advantages. So the DEC is allowed, the FERC always allows the DEC to have their air permits put through, which it is an ASF, a state air permit, which I believe should be actually a Title V, because this project is getting so huge. The Athens compressor station is moving from 10,000 horsepower to 22,000 horsepower. The Dover is moving from 18,000 horsepower to 30,000 horsepower. Both should be Title V's. But also the cumulative impacts, the infrastructure that's near both of these compressor stations is phenomenal. There's train tracks that pass very, very close to both of these compressor stations. There's also an asphalt plant and a lumber burning plant and a Central Hudson supply line in Athens, along with Athens Gen. And there's several projects that are in the works in Dover. And they also have the Cricket Valley power plant. So the cumulative impacts are huge. Athens is in the middle of a DAC community, and and Dover is adjacent to a DAC community and only a quarter mile from a huge school campus. So regarding FERC, FERC allows the EC to have their say regarding air permits. And we believe the air permits should be denied. We are hoping people make comments as they see fit. And I think Kim can give them good information as to how to do that.
We have about a little over a minute left.
Yeah, if you go to our short link bit.ly/stop the Iroquois pipeline, you'll find directly how to comment.
And that will have some background information. And
yes,
you mentioned that the Hochul administration has been a supporter of gas. We have any sense where Hochul is standing on this particular proposal?
You know, we don't, but it's really up to us to push the DEC, you know, to prove, A, we don't need it. And the DEC shouldn't even be looking at need. They should just be looking at the fact that it's going to be completely polluting our air and endangering New Yorkers, Connecticut residents as well. You know, we don't need the gas downstate. So, you know, downstate, I live here. You know, we don't want to frack up our neighbors upstate in order to have a commodity that a big corporation wants to sell downstate. So really hope that people submit comments.
And okay. To clarify, DACs are disadvantaged communities and environmental justice communities for those.
Talking with Mary Finneran, who's co-chair of the Gas Action Team, the Sierra Club, and Kim Frazek from Sage Energy. This is Mark Dunley with the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Hello. This is a show from Radia. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners.
Delta 2 Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Each week we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond.
Delta 2 Yankee, Delta 2 Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Are you up for it?
Thank you.
End of transmission. Find us on the internet, radia.fm. Over and out.
God, natural fact or unnatural fiction? This decision is your heads to decide. And if it does, you will. And the next step will be yours to remove your blindfold and take the It's All in Your Head message out of this building, out to all of those unable to attend this broadcast. Thank you for supporting Carry Out Philosophy. Thank you for supporting the future. This has been It's All in Your Head FM.
Weatherman speaking. Thanks for listening.
To create is divine. To reproduce is human. Man Ray.
Well, did you have an idea about God?
No, I never did.
Well, have you an idea about God now?
No.
Operator dismissed.
Savvy Funk, an iteration of Every Time I Hear the Sound, the document of 14 radio.
In South Africa, we don't like grammar. In South Africa, there are no limits between we and you. In South Africa, we don't like maps. But their colors.
We love blue! We love blue! We love blue! We love blue!
South Africa's, curated by South Radio for Savvy Funk.
Welcome in South Africa's, episode 5. For this summer solstice, South Radio has two special interventions today for your ears. Open your mind to other dimensions. You are going to listen to my big future, the live radio show by Anna Raimundo, with two special guests, the fortune teller Maya Miriam Buckwood, here just in front of me in the studio, and Rino Raimundo, directly from Napoli, for you on Savvy Funk, live from Berlin. Following, you are also going to discover Telephone Voice, a work by the South African artist James Webb, introduced by the Spanish curator Maria Anduesa. Let's start our hour with Sonic CV by Anna Raimundo, a production of 2011 for Radio Art Program Kunstradio, ORF, once Australian Public Radio.
Hello.
This is not a true voice, but it speaks your mother tongue if you're Austrian. Let me introduce to you the Austrian voice of Google Translator.
Hello.
It helps me to translate what I'm going to tell you. Sometimes it's not so correct, but please forgive it. It hasn't got brain.
12 years.
12 years ago,
I was 18 years old.
Sie hat gesagt, ihr Alter.